The official relationship between the U.S. government and Native American tribes is a government to a government. Tribes get to have their own justice structures, police, courts, and more, if they so choose. And the Federal Justice Department just announced a series of grants to tribes to give a boost to their efforts in law enforcement and crime prevention. The tribes receiving grants are all over the country and include some in our region. And I can read to you directly from the release from the Federal Department of Justice as of last Wednesday, September 18th. The Department of Justice announced the awarding of 192 grants to 110 American Indian tribes, Alaska Native villages, tribal consortia, and tribal designated nonprofits. The grants will provide more than $90 million to enhance law enforcement practices and sustain crime prevention and intervention efforts in 9 purpose areas, including public safety and community policing, justice systems planning, alcohol and substance abuse, corrections and correctional alternatives, violence against women, juvenile justice, and tribal youth programs. The awards are made through the department's Coordinated Tribal Assistance Solicitation, or CTAS, a single application for tribal-specific grant programs. Associate Attorney General Tony West and Office of Justice Programs Assistant Attorney General Carol V. Mason made the announcement during a meeting of Northwest tribal leaders with the Attorney General's Advisory Committee's Native American Issues Subcommittee, NAIS, in Celilo Village, Oregon. So, obviously, a fair number of acronyms we have to get used to here. Coordinated Tribal Assistance Solicitation is CTAS. Native American Issues Subcommittee, NAIS, of the Attorney General's Advisory Committee. Associate Attorney General West said these programs take a community-based and comprehensive approach to the root causes and consequences of crime, as well as target areas of possible intervention and treatment. Associate Attorney General West went on to say the CTAS programs are critical tools to help reverse unacceptably high rates of crime in Indian country, and they are a product of the shared commitment by the Department of Justice and tribal nations to strengthen and sustain healthy communities today and for future generations. Associate Attorney General West went on to say the Department of Justice has a responsibility to make sure its resources are not only available but accessible to tribes in a manner that they have defined and envisioned to meet the needs of the communities. And as we have shown over the last 4 years, the Department of Justice takes this responsibility very seriously. So we actually have two guests now to talk to us about the situation with the grants from the Department of Justice to Native American tribes. We have Sharon Stanfill on the line with us. Sharon, welcome to you.
Thank you.
From the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. And Susan is with you as well. Susan's name, full name, please, Susan.
I'm here.
Susan Ferris, I understand. All right. And tell us a bit about what each of you do with the Cow Creek Band, please.
This is Sharon. I'm the health director for the tribe, and I've been with the tribe about 15 years, and I'm the head of the clinics that we have, both in Roseburg and in Canyonville, and we have a staff of about 40 folks who deliver health care to the tribal members and to the employees of the Cow Creek Tribe.
And Susan? I am Susan Ferris, and I work with information and communication and try to make sure that everything that's said should be said and everything that shouldn't be said perhaps gets said as well, but gets delivered in with accuracy.
All right. When we were trying to get you hooked up, and I should explain to the audience the reason I spent as much time reading as I did is we were having a little trouble getting a hold of you. But here we are. We're in good shape now. So they got a pretty good read on these grants from the Federal Justice Department to tribes. Is the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians specifically one of the recipients?
No, actually, we're not. Tribes here in Oregon all sort of take a different path and usually will write grants and receive them for the types of services that they provide. And so these four grants were given to some of the other tribes who deliver services in the area of domestic violence and things such as this. The Cow Creek Tribe, primarily, we work on mass suicide prevention initiatives, and so we've received several grants from the federal government and the state for this type of work.
You said meth suicide prevention initiatives?
Yes.
All right. So how big how widespread a problem with methamphetamine exists among members of the Cow Creek Band?
Well, it's not that it exists amongst the tribe as much as the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so we received the grant, and one of the things that we do is we provide services to we provide education and awareness and services to our staff as well as those in the community. A lot of the community providers within our seven-county service area and basically across the state of Oregon. We do a lot of training, assist training, QPR trainings for lay staff, and a lot of postvention following suicides to train the schools, counselors, law enforcement, folks like that.
And are the suicides a particular concern? I mean, what is the rate higher than the national average or something?
For tribal members, is that what you asked?
Yes.
No, you know, actually, I don't know that it's higher. It's just that we wanted to do something for the community as well as our own tribe. And so we wrote these grants knowing that Douglas County and just southern Oregon and here in rural Oregon, we have issues that have a big impact caused by meth and other drugs and substance abuse.
You know, I should interject if I may.
Sure.
I am not Native American, and there is a tendency to think that grants that might be awarded to tribes are used just within the exclusivity of the tribal membership and for just tribes, when frequently the goal is to have the tribes utilize the grant, and one of the requirements is to not only train, prevent, or whatever is necessary, depending on the nature of the grant, within the tribal membership, but also there's a requirement to take the message outside the tribal membership, because there's a tendency, there's a need to integrate the tribe into community, not so much with the Cow Creek. They haven't been a reservation tribe. The Cow Creek have always been relatively integrated into community, but many, many of the tribes are reservation tribes, and that integration in community is critical. But we, as non-natives, tend to think, okay, so this is tribal, and we kind of corral it. And that isn't, generally speaking, how people who are thinking and writing these grants and responding to them are working. It's a very integrated approach, and I thought maybe it would be good to mention that.
That is good to know. Susan Ferris and Sharon Stanfill, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about health and justice issues for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Sharon, you were saying something that's pretty important here to realize, though, is that rather than assume that these issues are generally tribal issues, some of them are frequently just plain rural issues, no matter who the people are living in the rural areas.
That's correct.
Could you expand on that thought a little bit?
Well, what I'm basically saying is that, you know, living in rural Oregon, we face these issues, and these are the reasons that we prepared these grants. We're training the staff. For instance, just suicide alone. There's so many things that we do incorrectly following a suicide. It's important to be prepared so when these events happen, unfortunately, we're able to handle them, come together as a community, so that oftentimes when you have one suicide, other suicides will follow, so you can prevent those things. And especially in the school with our young people, it's important for all types of service workers to be aware of these issues.
And so when you talk about the grants, then, are there real strings attached on how they can be used, particularly in the case of the Cow Creek Band, since you're not a reservation tribe, as was pointed out? I mean, do you have to be very careful to make sure the money is spent on tribal members, or are the strings not like that?
It depends on how you prepared the grant and how you wrote it and how they approved it. So, yes, for us, we hire staff, we train them. I'd say about half of the grant funds that we use are for our staff, just to be able to hire them so we can go out and offer trainings to the community. But for sure, we've hired a psychiatrist who comes in-house and works within our clinic settings, works with families. But a lot of the work we do, we train staff outside our facility. And like I've said before, we'll go out to the schools. We just work within our community, Boys and Girls Club, just try to help others. And it's a community effort.
Sharon, let me interject. Do you think that because in rural communities there's always that distance factor, things are a little further than if it's an urban environment? Do you think, therefore, connecting people into the help piece, like postvention work
right,
and so forth, is more demanding because things aren't as accessible? I mean, you have to really think it through?
I think so. I think that we have a lot of deficits in the rural area, and I think that it's really important that things like this, especially trainings, be offered and be offered enough that folks can really get it and can get all the services that they need. And there's so many issues, and they all domino on each other.
That's a good point.
And when we talk about justice issues in particular, I mean, it's interesting to see that these grants are coming from the Federal Department of Justice, the ones that we started talking about. But you've received other grants, I assume, from other federal agencies as well, Sharon?
We have, primarily like in the area of diabetes. We have other federal grants. We have some state grants that are a little bit more along the line of behavioral health, giving us the opportunity to work with young people, look at some of the, and those are the areas where maybe we work a little bit more in culture. So you're talking specifically about tribal membership. But again, a lot of what we do, we go into the Boys and Girls Club, and we don't seclude ourselves from the rest of the community. We really try to integrate and offer services to the entire community, especially down the Medford area, a lot of the rural and southern Oregon.
All right. So so what would you say then are some of the remaining? I mean, if you had to write a grant today to address some of the issues that that face not only tribal members but the communities in which they live, what would some of the things be that you'd want to address?
I think behavioral health is probably one of our biggest issues, is getting enough folks in. We have, you know, community-wide, we have a deficit in the area of behavioral health. And so counselors, especially counseling for women, children, we really have this need, I think, in the community to be able to get folks into treatment quicker. And so if I were to write grants, I would probably write them along that line, just being able to provide your basic services for behavioral health and treatment.
You mentioned women specifically. So what are some of the issues faced by women in the community?
Just the housing, you know, being able to get shelter, being able to get some counseling for their family, a lot of things along that line.
And are the needs greater then? I mean, I have to assume that since the Great Recession started, that some of these needs have certainly swung up sharply.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, you know, we've closed down a lot of behavioral health at the hospital and in the community, and I think that there is a need for women, you know, shelters and places where folks can go to just to get some immediate help.
So you're trying to provide services that once were provided other places and no longer are.
Yes, exactly. And there's not a lot of grants out for things like that necessarily, but I mean, I'm kind of talking more from the area of our health services, counseling, and being able to maybe give temporary assistance for folks until they can get back on their feet, things like that.
You can see how that's another piece that supports the integrated approach. So if, you know, out in the community, a hospital has to close, a public hospital has to close certain facilities, certain services, and yet those services might be accessible through a grant that a tribe has received, and the grant says you need to integrate with community, then you see the tribe can pick up some of the slack, and that's a great benefit to the community. The other piece is tribes tend to kind of specialize in services like the suicide prevention here, and the diabetes work that's been done here at the Cow Creek is something that they share with other tribes. Other tribes might dive in more deeply into, for instance, substance abuse prevention, and they share what they learn with this tribe so that everything isn't compounded financially. There's an integration between the tribes on skill sets as well. I think that's good to know.
And Sharon, what sort of approach do you take, though, to look down the road to the future? Because grants obviously are provided for limited amounts of time, or they're a one-time-only thing. Or then you either reapply for a new grant that would take the place of the old, or you look for another revenue source. So is there some concern that there'll be a difficult time in trying to find the revenue to continue to provide some of the services that you're now providing?
Yes, I think that's always an issue, and you're always looking ahead at how to be self-sustaining so that you can build upon the grants, knowing that more than likely they will go away. So you do try to build that infrastructure, hire staff, train them up, and then look for ways to be able to, for instance, with the new health reform that's coming in, to be able to bill and collect revenue from, for instance, the staff so that if the grants go away, you can still provide the service.
It seems like when I was reading the release about the Justice Department grants that certainly since the Obama administration came to office, it seems like the Attorney General Eric Holder has taken a particular attention to tribal justice issues. Is that am I making an assumption here?
You know, I don't know if, Susan, if you know much about that. That's not
Well, we don't have any member of our legal department in here to answer that with real decisiveness. It's an impression that I have, but I can't go further than that.
All right, we'll leave it there. I want to thank you both for joining us. Susan Ferris and Sharon Stanfill both work for the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians. Thank you for talking to us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
That'll do it for hour one on the Exchange. We'll come back in hour number two and talk to Kathy Olson about her mother, Tilly Olson, who was a renowned writer, although perhaps not a household name. Tilly Olson and her works with her daughter, Kathy Olson, coming up in hour two of the Jefferson Exchange in just a couple of minutes.